we're the Powell family empowering the church in Thailand.
Where the harvest is ready and the gospel is bearing fruit. From youth prisons to refugee homes, church plants to discipleship camps, God is moving in powerful ways, and your prayers and support are making it possible.
We're inviting you to keep partnering with us, and if you're new, to join us as we press forward into the next season of ministry and multiplication, where most people have never even heard the name of Jesus yet.
Together, we're seeing lives transformed and the kingdom advance.
Good morning, Focus
Hello,
Church.
Hello, Focus. Good to see you guys.
What a joy to be here. Thank you
be
so
here
much.
In person. Wow, that's so awesome to be here. We go back to Thailand in just 8 days. Wow, it's crazy.
Wow. We want to say thank you so much again to Pastor Ryan and Pastor Shalee, and honestly, the whole team here. Your investment in Thailand is just honestly unmatched. Pastor Ryan is right. You hold the record for the most trips, the most teams.
They visit us more than our parents have visited us so far, combined, both of our sets. So it's crazy.
It's true. And so we just want to extend a thank you. We want to say every testimony, every salvation, every baptism is part of your story as well because of your investment in Thailand. So we want to say thank you so much. Thank you for sending teams. And we're excited today to give you an update just about what God is doing. And even more than that, we just want to share an encouragement about calling that we've experienced in our lives as well. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It says that if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And that's been our guiding verse. We've seen that not just as missionaries, but as followers of Christ, wherever we are planted, wherever we are rooted.
So we're going to answer some questions up front that we get asked pretty much any time that we interact with people for the first time. And so those two questions are, why missions and why Thailand? How did you feel called to missions? And a lot of times people are asking because they are feeling some stirring in their hearts too for missions, whether it's for short term or long term, or even just other things in their life. They feel called to things, but they're just wrestling with that. So we love sharing ours. Ours is not the model, but how we responded to the call, I believe, is a biblical response, even though it's a journey and it took time for us. But that's what we hope you get today, is that calling is a journey. It's not just a one-time event. And so for us, we both felt called to missions at different points in our lives. We both knew that we would be involved in ministry in some capacity, but we didn't know how. But for me, I was in a youth group setting and I was worshiping like I did every Tuesday night in a very similar setting to this. And it was not a specific missions message, but as the worship was happening, I just really felt the Holy Spirit stirring in my heart for the nations to be what I would later understand was a missionary. And so instead of going to Chick-fil-A after the service, like I always did with my friends afterwards, you know, whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you're just like, I need to process this. And so I did that. And I was on my way home, and it was dark, and it was a very beautiful night, but I remember just praying to God, like saying, God, like, if this is really you, because I started doubting after the service, you know, whenever you get removed from those moments, it's like, was I just emotional? Was I just, like, thinking of things? And I'll never forget, as I was praying, like, God, would you speak to me? I was driving my mom's car at the time, and I went to turn on, like a worship station, and like a Christian radio, just to have some worship music while I'm processing this, because you need worship music whenever you're processing, right? And I'll never forget, as I was mid-sentence saying, God, would you just speak to me? I turned on the radio. It was a secular station, and ironically, it was Coldplay, and the song was Viva La Vida. It had just come out. I hadn't even heard it before, but it was literally right at the line where it said, my missionary's in a foreign field, and I'm like, ah, and I started crying, and I was crying so emotional to the point where I had to turn the windshield wipers on, even though it was a beautiful day outside, and I was like, I was a new driver. I couldn't see. That was the first thing I thought to do. I'm like, I need to pull over. This is not safe. And I just had a moment with God. I'm like, God, I know you're calling me. I'm not gonna ask this again, because that moment for me was that was the moment. Okay, God, I know that this is what you're leading me to do. And then later on in college, I had a chance to go do a study abroad. We were engaged at the time. I was in Thailand. And while I was in Thailand, I got to go to a village really, really far away. Long story short, when we were there, they asked us because, hey, you look different than us. We don't recognize where you're from or who you are. But we had a really good God connection, and they invited us to share whatever story you want to share. And so we took the whole day and shared stories from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. And what amazed me is usually in my experience, and this is the case still in Thailand, but it was a unique experience, that all the kids, there was so many kids, dozens of kids, with their parents in the background, and they are usually, you know, squirrely running around as kids do. It's a universal thing. But these kids were glued, and they hung on to every word that we said. And we shared stories like David and Goliath. Of course, I was Goliath in that illustration. We shared stories that Jesus, the parables, they hung on to every single word. And I'll never forget, as we were leaving that place, all these kids running up, pulling on our shirts, wanting to climb on me. But I kept hearing, Bra Yesu, which I knew, one of the only Thai words I knew at the time, it means Jesus. Bra Yesu means Jesus. And I turned to the missionary we were with, and I was like they're asking for Jesus, right? Like, I hear that. She's like, yeah, they're asking, when are you coming back to share more stories about Jesus from the Bible? And I turned to the missionary, I'm like, yeah, when are we coming back? And she said, Brandon, there's so many churches, or so many villages, even closer to where we live than this one. This is so far out. So it's probably, I don't know when we're going to be able to come back. And I said, well, you know, what are there churches that we can connect them with and let them know they're here? And she said, Brandon, there's no churches within probably hundreds of miles of here. We're just so far out. And so I was just so desperate at the time, like, what can we do? And she said, Brandon, pray. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Pray that God would send workers. And so for us, as we began praying, Rachel and I were praying for God to send more workers. We were naming these people by name. And as we were praying, we just really felt over time the Holy Spirit was turning that prayer right back around to us and said, would you go? Would you do something? Would you respond to this need? And for us, it wasn't like a begrudgingly thing. Our hearts were already prepared through prayer. And we're like, oh, absolutely. This is it. This is what you're calling us to do. Awesome. And so what we're doing here, and what has really made us focus on Thailand, is that most people have never spoken to a Christian before yet. Most people have never heard the name of Jesus before yet. Most people don't have access to a church in their community, even if they want to hear about Jesus. If they hear about Jesus online, and they're like, wow, I want to know more about this. There's no churches for discipleship. But you know what? We don't get stuck in that hopeless state. We know that God's on the move. The harvest is ready. And you're going to hear some stories in just a few moments about how God is moving in Thailand. And you know what? Many of you have been in the room and you've actually been there and you've seen it firsthand. It's exciting. You can see there's a harvest. There's literally people asking for more Jesus, and we get to respond to that gospel message. But we also understand, as we're sharing this, that some of you might be removed and think that's for them. That's the calling is for them. But calling is for every single one of us as a church, but also individually, and it can be confusing. So we have 4 points today. We want to break it down, unpack this, and we're going to use some scripture just to help us with that.
Yeah, for us, it was really just step by step following God. And there's a story in scripture that really shows this process as well. So if you have a Bible, you want to follow along on the screen, we'll be in Genesis. And this idea of calling can kind of seem confusing or abstract, maybe hard to discern, what is God calling me to do? But in scripture, we see kind of this step-by-step process with a man named Abraham. And really, it's about this daily obedience, step-by-step following God. And this is in Genesis chapter 12. Actually, he's still just Abram at this point in scripture. And it says, starting in verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So here in Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to Abram for the first time, and we see that God's initial call to Abram to go out from his land and his family and follow God's leading. God says, follow me, and I will bless you, and you will be a great nation. So here we see the first aspect of God's calling for Abram. It means stepping out. Calling means stepping out. Now, it might not be overseas for you, but it might mean stepping into something unfamiliar, maybe a new season, a new job, maybe it's a conversation that you've been avoiding and God's been saying, hey, step out and have this conversation. For us, it literally meant saying goodbye to our family, our friends, what we've known here in Wisconsin. For our kids, it meant saying goodbye to grandparents. For us, it did mean stepping out in obedience to what God was calling us to do.
So Focus Church is partner with Asapat, which is the name of the youth foundation. It means Serving Heart Foundation in Thai. And it's just 3 hours north of Bangkok. Bangkok's a mega city, 16 million people. And so as the teams come, they also get a taste of Bangkok too. to. It's crazy. It's really awesome. But Pastor Tony is the Thai pastor that you partner with in Korat. Korat is his hometown. And Pastor Tony is an example of someone who has stepped out, someone who is doing something in their community. So the city of Korat actually has the highest teen suicide rates in the whole nation of Thailand. And in 2020, there was a large mass shooting in Thailand, the largest one in Thailand's history. It took place in Korat. The team has driven by that mall countless times. Over 30 people lost their lives, many others injured. And the government at that time, it really obviously raised some red flags. The entire nation was looking at Korat like, you need to do something. This is a big deal. This is a big issue. And so the government was asking, trying to find resources and find ways they can help out, get students connected to the resources they need. And it was at that time that Pastor Tony, he quit his successful job in Bangkok and he moved back to Korat because he said, Jesus is the answer and the church can meet these needs for these students. And after visiting with us in 2022, he got to see, it was like Pastor Ryan said earlier, how, wow, the churches, because in Thailand, the churches are very, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. And so whenever someone makes a decision to follow Jesus, and their family doesn't necessarily shun them, but it's like, well, you don't really, everything we do is Buddhist, and so you don't really have any part of us. And so the church family becomes a home, but then they get really inward focused historically, and not so much outward focus. And that's actually the biggest reason that the Thai church has invited us in as missionaries. Like, we need help getting outside of ourselves. They don't need help in their church. They do great. I can learn from them. But whenever it comes to outreach, that's where they've identified the need to help. And so that's why we're there. And so Pastor Tony, he came here, he saw the need, he saw wow, these churches in America, they take care of their communities. They love their communities. They're constantly looking for ways to get out. And so that gave him an idea. And again, he just sparked it right away and ran with it. And whenever he got back a few months later, and we helped him launch this youth foundation, yep, Asapat. And his goal was for this foundation to be kind of like a parachurch ministry, which means a one degree separation, where it's a resource for churches, even though it's a part of the church. It's a resource for churches, but it's not labeled as a church organization when we need to go into places where the students are, like schools or youth prisons or whatever. And so the first person who came to Christ, literally the same month that he launched it, was a boy who was actually at the same mass shooting in the mall, and he was... his name is Pedro or PP, whatever you want to call him. But he was in this mall. He was locked up all night, 12 hours. He finally escaped. But a week later was the COVID-19 pandemic, and it locked the entire nation down. And he was just riddled with depression and suicidal ideation and just lots of issues. And his parents, being his mom was in the medical field and his dad's a professor at a college, and they were like, we need to do something. So they used all their resources. They extended everything they did. They paid a lot of money and they tried everything, but nothing would work for him. And then he met Pastor Tony. He gave his life to Jesus and everything changed. His countenance changed. His outlook on life changed. His purpose. And his parents saw this change of life. And guess what? He led his father to Jesus. He led his mother to Jesus and then his younger brother to Jesus. They were all water baptized just a month after your first team left, which is incredible. And then just this past December, he led his Thai grandmother, who was deeply Buddhist for over 80 years of her life, led her to Jesus, and it was so beautiful. Unfortunately, 2 months later, she did pass away unexpectedly, but Pastor Tony got to officiate the first funeral for the church, and it was at a Buddhist temple, and lots of people came to support the family, mostly not Christian, never heard of Jesus before, and Pastor Tony got to share the gospel message from all the way from Genesis to Revelation, right up where he said, he'll wipe away every tear. And then just this past month in June, I was with them at the church, and their family runs up to me and said, Pastor Brandon, I got to tell you something. And they were so excited to share that the Holy Spirit had given them boldness to be able to tell the judge whenever they were receiving the inheritance from the family, because at the very end, and he forgot about this until he was right up there, but he said, the judge asked me to go ahead and the very end to swear and make a promise and pray to all of the spirits, because it's like idol worship. They have all the spirits in the courthouse. So typically parents or families will go and they'll make a promise, they'll take care, be good stewards of the inheritance. But all of a sudden, as quickly, he's like, I can't, because I'm a Christian now, and I don't pray to spirits, I pray to the one true God. Can I pray to God? And the judge looked around at his officials and he's never heard this before. He's like, I guess, sure, go ahead. And so it was like, wow, okay, thank you. And then he made a promise to God in front of them, how beautiful is it that the Holy Spirit, not just here in our context, but around the world, at just the right time, gives us the right words to speak, gives us creative ideas to be able to represent Jesus, but also to stand up for our faith. It's so beautiful, and God is moving in this city because we said yes, and because you said yes through partnership, that one step turned into a miracle, and God is still unfolding this. It's so beautiful, and your teams have been involved in this family's life. You can see him there, the arrow pointing. You guys were serving together, and this is one step of obedience, this one yes that unfolds this legacy. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and here's the truth. Calling also comes with seasons of waiting or seasons of uncertainty, and this happens to Abram as well. Back in the story in Genesis, if we flip over to chapter 15, this is probably the most well-known part of Abram's call. Starting in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said, 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless.' He had no child. He and his wife, they weren't able to have any kids. Abram said, 'Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram, and he said, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside. He told Abram, 'Look up to the heavens and number the stars, if you are able to number them.' And then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And scripture says, Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." See, Abram, he was promised descendants as numerous as the stars, and yet he's looking around, and he's like, "I have nothing. I have no child, no heir, and no clarity," but he believed anyway.
So that second aspect of calling is that calling requires faith before clarity. Faith before clarity. God tells Abram, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." But Abram was looking around thinking, "How in the world is this going to happen?" And he might have said to God, "God, I'm confused. I mean, I'm going to leave everything that I have, all my inheritance, which is a really big deal, to someone else that's not even my heir." But God is telling him that you're going to be blessed, a great nation. This is a wild promise, very wild. And it would be very crazy if we had this same kind of revelation today. Abram had faith, though, despite not knowing all the details, because often calling requires faith before clarity. And all throughout the New Testament, Abraham, we'll get to that in a minute, is referenced many times for having incredible faith. He's one of those models of faith for us. Sometimes when God calls, we get just a little picture of what it looks like, and many times we're not even ready to even see the whole picture.
Yeah, and we've experienced this too with Pastor Tony. Very shortly after we launched the Asapat Foundation, many students were coming to Christ, so many that Pastor Tony said, I need to plant a church because there's nowhere to send them to be discipled and raised up in the faith. And so we helped him launch Full Heart Church at the end of 2023, and Focus Church, you've been part of that from the very beginning. And now this church, you can see in the photo, actually this is the photo of your team there, but now Pastor Tony has so many Thai people attending the church, which is awesome, that's the goal, that they've outgrown this facility. And God has been speaking to Pastor Tony so clearly about taking this next step of faith that he began selling this vision to the church, like, "Hey, we've outgrown, we need to move to something else." And so actually a family in their church took a bold step of faith, and they donated Pastor Tony and Full Heart Church 17 acres of land, donated it to him, which was unheard of, in a very strategic part of the city of Korat. There's the team praying over this land. And so we brainstormed with Pastor Tony about what this land could be. And the coolest thing about working with him is he just has such a vision for what God has called them to do in the city. This new building will serve not only as their church, but he also wants to provide a new space for the youth outreaches, teaching and training and discipleship. He also has a heart to include maybe a transitional housing opportunity for boys that are coming out of the youth prison. And overall, Pastor Tony and Full Heart Church, they want to use this space to continue reaching more young people in their community with the hope of Jesus. So your team got to go there and see the space and pray over the land and dream with Pastor Tony. But as all things, there's cost to this. The cost, you know, of a new building project like this in the U.S. would be very, very expensive. But for Pastor Tony and their team, it's actually just under $200,000. And so we asked Pastor Tony when he brought up this new project, we said, "Okay, what is possible for your team, the Thai team, to raise for this project?" He gave us a number, and then Brandon said, okay, now let's dream a little bit bigger for, have more faith. And so they said, okay, we're going to raise $40,000, which is a big step of faith for their team. And then we're also taking a big step of faith as well. So we're reaching out to partners and teams and people and churches like Focus Church. We're asking you guys to dream with us as well, because we want to complete this project by October 2026. And so we're going to make a bold ask even today that Pastor Ryan already mentioned. What is God maybe laying on your heart to partner with us? Is there anything that the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart to give towards this project? And sometimes, we don't always get to see all of the fruit of our labor and our sacrifice. But the beautiful thing about the kingdom partnership, even that we have together, is Focus Church, you do get to see a lot of the fruit because you keep coming back, which is amazing. But perhaps today, God is laying this on your heart. Will you take the next step of faith to partner with this next generation in Thailand?
Yeah, amen. In Genesis chapter 13, another 13 years pass. Abram is 99 years old. And God again reveals his covenant with Abram, but something changes in Genesis 17. Let's check it out. Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. This third aspect of calling in the story that we see is that calling unfolds your true identity. Your true identity. It says here that God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of multitude. Wow. God changes Abram's name to Abraham, revealing his true identity as the father of many. 24 years after God's initial call to Abraham, God again confirms his calling and covenant, but reveals something deeper, a change in Abraham's identity. See, that's why I said earlier, calling is a journey. It's a process. It's not just a one-time event, even though there are one-time events that stand out more to us in our journey. It's a daily obedience thing, daily obedience. Not just a Sunday obedience, a daily obedience, right? As we walk with God through this journey of lifelong calling, we discover who we truly are.
Yeah, we've seen this in the youth prison with the boys, just this vision, this opening of their eyes to see who they truly are. We've mentioned the youth prison several times. The Focus Church teams have been able to go. And one of the things, Pastor Tony, we started doing some outreaches, but then he noticed, man, these boys are so hungry to know more about Jesus that he started, it used to be bi-weekly, now it's every week he goes in and does Bible study with these boys. He had about 10 to 15 boys, but now just this past week, he had 54 boys come and learn. They want to know more about Jesus, and they're so ready. But one of the boys had the opportunity to hear the gospel for the first time from one of our teams, and then he continued in discipleship with Pastor Tony. And so one day he said, okay, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. I feel this peace that I've never felt. And then when he was released from prison, his first phone call was to Pastor Tony. He said, you said I could call if I didn't have a place to go. So Pastor Tony actually went, and he picked him up from the youth prison, took him, got him some new clothes, and then was able to bring him to Full Heart Church for the very first time. He got to worship in community with other Christians, other Thai Christians. And he said to Pastor Tony, now I have a new family and a new life. Isn't that amazing? This is him. His name is View. And so if you think about him, think about Pastor Tony, continue to pray for him. One of the things that Full Heart Church and the Asapat Youth Foundation, one of the things they're able to do is get these boys some new training, new job skills and life skills. So here he is. He's working at a local bubble tea shop. But now he's starting to learn who he truly is in Christ. God is showing these young men that their past, whatever they've done to be in the youth prison, does not define them, but their identity is found in Jesus. Focus Church has gotten to go and visit the youth prison, and now Pastor Tony feels like God is putting on his heart to start a church in the youth
in
prison.
In fact, just in the past 2 weeks, he has approval to do that. So this is really amazing. It's cool to look and see at someone else's story, but it's true in your life, is that this calling unfolds your true identity. But just I want to remind you that it's not in what you do for God. That's not, your identity is not in what you do. Your identity is that you are a son and daughter of the Most High King. And it's through the concept and understanding that you're able to do so much more effectively.
Amen. Amen. Which brings us to the fourth aspect of Abraham's call, is that calling is always missional. It's not just personal. It's not just for us, but God is communicating through us. He is speaking to us. He is sending us out into the world. There's one more story that we want to share of two young people that Focus Church specifically, you've had a hand. I mean it for real. Like, you've really had the opportunity to see life change. The first is a young girl. Her name is Plang. And this was the first Focus Church team that came back in 2024. And you had the opportunity to help Pastor Tony put on a youth camp. And so one morning, one of your team members, Suzanne, was out. She was reading her Bible, just like she normally would. And one of the young girls, Plang, you can see Plang was being very bold in using her little bit of English to go and talk to Suzanne. And
I'm so proud. I snapped this picture, not even know the story that would unfold.
Yes. So Plang said to her, "Why are you doing this? Why? What is this? What are you reading?" And so Suzanne was able to share just a little bit of, wow, this is what God has done for me. So Plang later came and got to talk and have some moments with the Full Heart Asapat team. And then about a month later, she made a decision to follow Jesus. And she was water baptized, which was amazing. She is still serving. She's one of the main leaders in the Asapat Full Heart Church team. She continues to serve every week. She truly has seen life change. She has some medical conditions, so she used to live very fearfully. And she's really seen God unfold that for her. She's now able to step out and trust that God will take care of her. So that's Plang. But then there's the story of San. This was a young man who the second Focus Church team got to meet. Just this past March, they were able to meet him at the youth camp that we held, the English camp. And San, to our knowledge, had never heard about Jesus before, never been to any experience like this. He came, he met some of the young men on the team who really had an impact on his life, just being friends with them. They invited him to Pastor Tony's church. For the first time, he came to church, got to worship, got to hear more about Jesus, and about a month later, he made a decision to follow Jesus. He said, "Okay, I'm all in. I want to serve the Lord," and he is continuing again to serve with Pastor Tony. Now he goes in to the youth prison. Now he gets to go and share with other young men about what Jesus has done.
Amen. We're going to close with this verse, Luke 9:23. It says, "And Jesus said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily.'" Everybody say daily.
Daily.
"And follow me." Friends, God is still calling. He's a God of process. He could have saved the world in just a moment, but instead he sent his son, Jesus, died a horrible, painful death on the cross, rose again, and we are still in this process of 2,000 years later of God restoring all creation to himself. And there are Thai brothers and sisters that are going to be able to worship in heaven with us because of the sacrifice and the generosity that you guys have and the time that you guys spent even investing personally over there. Thank you, Focus Church. Thank you so much for your investment that you're making, not just here, it's a huge deal, but also literally all the way around the world. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you.
It's amazing to think that on the literal opposite side of the planet, if we were to take a globe and put an arrow through it from Wisconsin, it will come out the other side in Thailand. Literally, that if you go to Thailand, if you start, keep on going past Thailand, you're already on your way back to Wisconsin. And God is moving there, and we heard stories of faith and stories of vision and stories of life change and effectiveness. We're talking about a place that doesn't know Jesus, and yet Jesus' name is being lifted up in a place that needs help with the next generation where they're having crisis and suicide. The name of Jesus being lifted up, saying there's hope being lifted up. And the journey that we heard today about Pastor Tony and the journey he's been on, stepping in faith to do something about the next generation in his town, it's our journey too. We've been with him lockstep in step every part of the way. The launch of the Next Gen Center, the launch of the church, a Full Heart Church, the launch of a new property. We got to be there. The launch of English camps, that because there are Americans at the camp, parents send their kids to learn English, and the English they're learning is the Bible. We've been a part of it every step in the way. So the story is our story, as Pastor Brandon said. And it's amazing to think that we're a part of this. We're about to launch out another team that's gonna be a part of the next English camp next March. And maybe as you've been hearing this and you're thinking, I didn't realize the role that we're playing as a church here in Thailand and the difference we're making in this place on the other side of this planet, maybe you're feeling a tug on your heart to say, is it too late, Pastor? Is it too late? Is it still possible? I mean, like, we start orientation today. But if you talk with us, we might be able to figure out something. There might be another spot. It might be supposed to be including you. Maybe talk to us. But you know what? As we've said, this story is our story. We see the next part of the vision is a new building. You saw pictures of it. While we were there, we could imagine it. We were standing in the place where life change was going to take place, where that building was going to be. But this Thai church can't do it by themselves. They need partners. But you know what? We all, American and Thai, serve a God who can do anything. And God owns everything. And maybe today we're supposed to be the blessing delivery service that blesses a church in Thailand. Maybe today we're supposed to respond in giving to say we're going to do something with our resource to make a difference in Karat, Thailand. You see, in just a few moments, we're going to have a time of giving here at Focus Church. And when we give here at Focus Church, we give our first and our best, our tithe. But God instructs us to be generous. We believe that grateful people give generously. We give above. The thing is, we respond to how God is speaking to our minds and to our hearts to be generous above and beyond, to say we're going to do something. And I believe we're going to respond today by giving to the special giving fund. Everything given to the special giving fund, it's going towards that church. And we believe we're going to see that church under construction next time we're in Thailand next March. Just a moment, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and pray, because we're going to pray and specifically pray for this church in Thailand. We're going to pray for our missionaries who God has called to be there. And we're going to pray to God and say, God, speak to our hearts and minds. What are we supposed to be doing? And I believe if everyone does what God is asking you to do, it'll be exactly what it needs to be. I don't know if we're supposed to pay all of it or some of it, but I know we're supposed to do something. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, let me just give you a preview. We've talked a lot about this Thai pastor that's making a difference. I mean, I thought I heard from God and obeyed God and did it pretty quickly, but this guy does it even faster. Like, he hears from guys like, hey, I'm starting a church. Hey, I'm going into the youth prison. Think about that. The Thailand Buddhist government approving a Christian church in a prison. That doesn't normally happen. In September, the first week of September, they're actually having a dedication ceremony for that church in there. And the very next week, Pastor Tony from Thailand will be here in America at our church. And we're excited to be able to welcome him here, because he wants to see what else are we doing. What are we doing with our next generation? He wants more ideas of how he can continue to invest in the next generation. So I'm going to invite you right now to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take a time to talk to God. God, you are amazing, and it's amazing to think that you are making a difference, not where we are at, but also in other places around this world, including Thailand. God, the life change that's taken place is amazing to see the change in hearts and lives, to think that people haven't heard the name of Jesus, and they're hearing the name of Jesus, and not just hearing the name of Jesus, but they're finding the hope that is found in Jesus, and that's amazing. God, it's just inspiring to think that we're playing a part in it as well. We thank you for the faith and vision of Pastor Tony. We pray that you continue to lead him and guide him as to what you want to do in reaching his town for you. God, we thank you for the Powells who have responded to the call to become missionaries to Thailand, to give up their lives here in America, to spend time there helping the Thailand people know you. We pray blessing on them, protection on them. And God, we pray right now as to what we're supposed to do. God, what are we supposed to do in giving our resource, which we recognize already belongs to you? So God, what part of your resources that we manage are we supposed to give towards this church? Would you speak to us? Would you put something on our mind? Would you help us? And God, will we have the faith to give what you tell us that's going to make a difference in Thailand? God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for the work that you're doing in Thailand today. In Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, We've talked about lives being changed in Thailand, but life can also be changed here. We talked about hope being found in Jesus in Thailand, but hope can be found in Jesus right here. Maybe today is the day that you make a decision to say, you know what? I need to go all in with God. I need to make Jesus the leader of my life. The story of those Thai kids needs to be my story. So whether you're here in person or you're watching online, today could be the day that everything makes sense, that you find purpose, that you find joy, that you find hope. And we're saying, Pastor, what do I got to do to receive this hope? What do I got to do? The Bible says we simply need to have a conversation with God that we call prayer. With this prayer, it's simple. We recognize we're not worthy. It's appropriate to say we're sorry for our sins. We got to believe that God loves us, that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our sin, claim what he did for us. And then we make a decision to go all in, to say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. I'm making you the boss of me. Where you go, I will follow. Where you lead, what you ask me to do, I will do. And it's in that moment that we pray that prayer that God changes everything. We are forgiven. We are set free. We are become a part of God's family. We get to spend eternity with him in heaven. But while we're still on this earth, we live life with hope, purpose, joy, and mission, a mission to help other people find God too. We're not meant to follow Jesus alone. He gives us a family. And that's why there is a part two that Jesus said himself that you should get baptized, that when people get water baptized, they're going public with that decision saying, hey, I prayed that prayer. And I want everyone who's watching as I get water baptized to know that I follow Jesus too, that I'm a part of the family. It's a beautiful thing. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we celebrated three people went public with their faith last weekend. But right now we're focusing on that important prayer. I want to help you with this prayer, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's in our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud. God, you're the one who's in charge of me now. You're my Lord. But don't worry. You and I are not going to be the only ones talking, because I'm inviting the entire Focus family here, both in person, online, to pray this prayer with us. No one prays alone here, because this is the most important thing we do. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge, going all in. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.